Be open to change. Be flexible. Just like in 2008, we all had to be really, really flexible. I think we're going to have to be even more so this time. And, you know, be open to unique and different ways to run and manage meetings. The hybrid meeting and the virtual meeting, I think, is here to stay. And we just need to be able to envelop it into the live meeting situation as best we can.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Destination Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Stoker. We've got a great show for you today. My guest today is Andy McNeil, and he is the CEO of American Meetings, Inc. Andy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Adam. Great to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. I was so glad that you reached out because I know you guys have a show, and we'll want to talk a little bit about your show today as well. But we're all working with destinations and helping them kind of through the challenges that we dealt with in 2020. And I think you've got some great ideas for 2021 that'll be really good for us to talk about today.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot going on in our industry for sure.
So Andy, before we get too far into this though, we've got a couple of icebreaker questions we want to ask you. First of all, what is your dream destination? If you could go anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Oh my gosh, you can't make me choose just one, right?
We're going to do it. We're going to force your hand.
Oh man, there's so many great places. You know, I've been really blessed being in the meetings and event industry for over 30 years. So I've been lucky enough to see the world and I've gone back to some of my favorite places. I would have to say Ireland for a number of reasons. I think, first of all, my last name is McNeil, so you got that. But I've been there probably 11 or 12 times because it is such a beautiful, beautiful place. And the people make it so, so very special. And you can do everything from just amazing golf to visiting castles. And we just had such great experience taking groups over there over the years. I'd have to say the Emerald Isle.
Yeah, you know, I'm seeing an interesting trend lately, Andy, and that's that more and more people are answering that question based on some sort of genealogical reason. And yeah. I feel like that's more of a recent trend, right? Is people are trying to find their way back to their roots or understand better where they came from. And travel is a great vehicle to do that. It's also a great excuse to take a once in a lifetime trip. So it just sounds interesting to me. What led you to kind of want to go back to your roots? What's causing that genealogical reasoning behind your trip?
Yeah. So McNeil McCall, that's my father's name and my mother's maiden name. And so both families are from Ireland, and my grandparents are immigrants from Ireland. So, you know, that connection is really, really powerful. And I've got lots of cousins over there. But, you know, when I got off the plane there first time in 1990, I just felt like it was home. It just felt right. And it's such a beautiful place. And again, the people, so many times I've been in situations in our business where, you know, we're having to deal with difficult situations. And every time that's ever happened in Ireland, we've been able to deal with it with just amazing ease and grace because of the people of Ireland. So from a business perspective, it's been good. From a personal perspective, it's been fantastic and life-changing. And I just can't say enough about it.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay. So I think we may have gone a little bit in a backwards order here because you've been to Ireland, right? You've taken that trip. You've had that experience.
I have.
So let's hear one that you haven't had that's still on your bucket list.
Gotcha. Let's see. Bucket list. Okay. I'm going to have to say Iceland.
So all you want to do is change a letter from Ireland to Iceland.
Oh, yes. Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. So, you know, before COVID, you know, they were seeing such a huge growth in tourism because it's such a beautiful place. And again, the people are so nice. And, you know, I like places that are kind of out of the way and a little different. And the natural beauty of Iceland is incredible. So I've always wanted to go. I've always wanted to go to one of those places where you can actually stay inside one of those see-through igloos and see the northern lights.
Oh,
wouldn't
yeah.
that be incredible? I mean, that's kind of bucket list stuff, right? So that's on my list. I've always wanted to go, and I will certainly get there sometime soon.
Okay, yeah. My question is that a one-year bucket list, five-year, or 10-year? When do you think you're going to make your way out there?
Yeah, I'd like to do it in the next 5 years with my kids before they get too old. Absolutely.
Oh, great. Yep. That's the other trend that I'm hearing so much is it's almost like you've got or parents have a kid's bucket list, you know, things they want to check off of activities they want to do with their kids. And it's fun to see those trips. And, you know, I've got four kids of my own, and there's some trips with my kids that are just wonderful. And then there's some that,
yeah,
they're a little bit more challenging, right? It's a, yeah, it's a sacrifice, but it sounds like an amazing place to take your kids minus the flight.
Well, you know, sometimes they say, you know, you don't go on vacation with your family. You go somewhere with your family, right? it's not a vacation, but at the end of the day, that's what memories are made of, and, you know, what we all remember the most.
Great. Well, Andy, thanks for letting us get to know you a little bit with that. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into tourism.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been in this industry for over 30 years. I started out in the event marketing space on the sports side at Florida State University way back when. And that kind of led me into a world of traveling with my first job, which really took me all over the world. I was really lucky to open up different divisions of a company in almost every part of the world. I traveled to over 70 countries doing that over a very short amount of time, over 6 years. And it was just so much fun and so incredible and really opened my eyes to the world. And when I came back, I decided that I wanted to stay in the event space. And so I opened up AMI, American Meetings. And we focus on large corporate events for Fortune 500 organizations. And we currently do that in about 60 countries around the world.
Wow, that's a pretty clear path. You know, not a lot of people have a really zigzagged path, but it almost seems like you knew where you were headed the whole time.
Yeah, I had a great mentor early on, and that really helped crystallize things. She taught me what real customer service was all about. And once that's in your blood and you understand it, and you know, I think people really are someone who can be in the service industry or can't be. I think it's a pretty, you know, strict line, because you have to be wanting to help people. And she really taught me that, you know, it's about the customer, it's about the customer's experience. And so once I learned from the best, I opened up AMI, and it's been 19 years and counting. We'll be celebrating our 20th year next January.
Congratulations. That's amazing. You know, this is an example of the conversation maybe taking a turn from where I thought it was going to go, because I want to dive into this concept of your mentor that you had.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like there's a lot of mentors out there in your career, and everybody has a, or hopefully has a mentor. And if you don't, find one. But a lot of people don't appreciate or recognize the importance of that mentor until they've moved on and actually had to take the position of that mentor or do some of the role that mentor had. Were you able to recognize that person's impact early on, or is it something you appreciated more and more after you didn't work with that person anymore?
Yeah, I think that, you know, maybe the first time I almost couldn't make payroll, I really understood it. And then, you know, I was with her during the 9/11 attacks. And then I have had to go through the downturn of 2008 and then also COVID. So we've definitely had, you know, similar situations that we've had to deal with. And I do recognize that the pressure that an entrepreneur and an owner feel on a day-to-day basis is something that really can't be conveyed until you live it, until you're the one that's, you know, sitting in that seat. So I'm grateful for the poise and professionalism she taught me. And, you know, never letting, you know, what's happening, you know, internally in your company affect the experience for your customers.
Yeah. You know, I had a similar experience, except that I think I may have been so boneheaded early on in my career that I just didn't recognize the value that a few of my mentors provided for me along the way. You know, I had one that really kind of, he was hard on me right out of school and really pushed me. And I think at the time I thought he was a jerk. And then all of a sudden, when I moved into my next role, I said, holy cow, I think he gave me 5 years of experience in a year and a half, and I couldn't be where I am today without it. You know, and I think that's happened to me several times where I may have recognized the value, but the value increased exponentially after You know, I moved on from that mentor.
Yeah, it's a great point. I think there's also sometimes that you don't realize someone was a mentor until after you've left their sphere of influence.
Yes.
And you turn back and you look at them and you go, wow, that person taught me a lot about this or that. And that doesn't have to be someone older than you. It can be a coworker or colleague who's just a few years over you or is in your reporting structure that, you know, gave you great guidance and was a little, you know, older than their years. And I've definitely had that experience as well.
Absolutely. Well, okay. Thanks for that little journey outside of the
no problem.
the direction we had planned on this conversation. Yeah, it's when you recognize a mentor, the importance of that mentor to your career, it's pretty incredible. But I want to go back to the meetings industry. You've obviously been in the industry for a long time. You're seeing major changes in the industry as a result of 2020. Give me the 30,000 foot view state of the industry right now for the meetings market.
So, you know, we're at an inflection point in our industry, and I don't need to tell your listeners that. You know, we're all going through it together. You know, there's really a confluence happening between virtual meetings, live meetings, and now hybrid meetings. And the confluence is that I think every organization is rethinking what a meeting strategy is. And for our valued partners, and actually the reason we created the Destination Everywhere podcast last year was to stay in touch with our incredible partners in the hotel and CVB industry, because they are our lifeblood on the live meeting side. And we were trying to figure out ways to promote them and be ready for when live meetings came back, which are starting to come back, which is fantastic. But, you know, Fortune 500 companies have spent a year and a half not traveling their organizations and seeing improvements of profit because they're not spending as much money on travel. And they are now saying, well, there's going to be a mix. And then, you know, meeting champions, meeting owners are saying, boy, I can still get my job done and maybe not have to do all those overnight trips. And so what's really important, I think, for all of us in the industry to realize is change is coming. And it's how we focus on that change and be positive about it and figure out ways to mesh together with that new confluence of those three different types of meetings, because it's here to stay, I believe. And I think it's actually going to grow our industry, because there's nothing like a meeting to connect with someone, and you can do that now virtually. Sometimes you'll do it in a situation where some people are at a destination and others are online. But you know, there's always going to be live meetings. You know, there's nothing better than a face-to-face connection and being able to go to a fantastic destination and have a great experience. We're just going to have this added benefit of being able to actually expand the tent with virtual attendees coming into those as well. So that's where I see it going. We're seeing that already. We're having those conversations with our clients. We're planning for the future.
Great. Yeah, I want to come back to your show and talk about your show in a few minutes. But before we do, you mentioned something really interesting, and that's that these Fortune 500 corporations right now are looking at their budget and saying, holy cow, what a great savings that we've experienced by not spending money on this travel and everything. And while I think that as they look at 2020 in a vacuum, I think that's true, right? But if you look at the return on investment from a lot of these meetings over the years, they could be missing the opportunity cost of, okay, but if they went to the show, how much revenue would they have booked or whatever? So the reason I bring that up is if I'm a destination, I need to be working with the event organizers and creating an event that provides enough value to where these corporations are not going to look at this as an expense, but it actually results in an investment or, you know, some sort of a return on investment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And meetings almost became a, hey, we do this because we've always done it. It didn't get down to the why are we here?
And exactly.
I'd love to see more of that.
Yeah, I think the big opportunity is, again, expand. So yes, you're going to have that live meeting again, but maybe instead of just 60 people experiencing Nashville, for example, a fantastic city, now there's 300 of the same organization experiencing Nashville. It's 60 or 100 of them on site, but there's 200 of them that are doing it virtually, and they can see videos, and you can have interactive activities and team buildings and all these things that we're doing right now in the virtual world to expand it so they still get the Nashville experience. It's just a different Nashville experience. And I think if the CVBs and our partners at the hotels are thinking along those lines, and many of them are, already, that's where they're truly going to be successful, because that individual that may be on that business meeting virtually for Nashville, hey, maybe he wants to take his wife in a month for their anniversary, and guess where he's going to take her? Nashville. So I think there are great opportunities ahead from a marketing perspective, and also expanding the number of people that get to experience a destination.
Yeah, makes sense for sure. Okay, so with American Meetings, you guys are managing these different, you've got your in-person, you've got your hybrid, and then you've got your virtual meetings. What changes have you guys had to make in your processes to accommodate this new ecosystem that we're in?
Yeah. So we went from about 80% live to 100% virtual. So we were doing about 20% virtual, and some of those were hybrid prior to this. And we were primarily a live meetings company, but we had all the capabilities to do virtual. And it is why we're still in business today, because last year was really, really tough for companies like ours, organizations like ours, but my incredibly talented staff who worked day and night over the course of the last 365 days to make sure that our clients were taken care of. And from learning new virtual platforms to, and this is the most important thing, educating the clients on what a virtual meeting was, the different types, the different ways you can do it, different things you can integrate, all that training that had to go on in a very, very short amount of time was difficult, but it made us a better and stronger company. And we're coming out of it bigger and better than we ever have. So we're extremely blessed and lucky to be where we're sitting today.
Great, great. And that pivot, and pivot's like the key word of 2020,
it is,
right?
But right?
the change that you made in 2020 to be able to accommodate so much more of that virtual option probably made a huge difference in your ability to be a part of the recovery as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We were lucky to actually expand our employee base and contractor base during the downturn. And that was because we needed people all over the world to be able to put on these meetings, bringing speakers in from different countries and having production groups in different cities to shoot those speakers so they could be part of the virtual meeting in the US or in the UK. So it definitely was a global effort. And because of that, we were able to expand and give opportunity to some people that had lost their live meeting jobs, which we were really excited. And we are seeing live meetings come back. So virtual meetings will always be around. And we've seen that growth. I think it's a cultural shift, but live meetings are certainly going to make a comeback.
Got it. Okay. Well, we're going to dive a little bit more into the meetings market.
Yeah.
Along with not only what destinations now are attractive, but how can you make your destination more attractive to some of these first meetings that are coming back? So we'll do that in just a moment after we take a quick break. I've been getting a lot of questions recently from destinations around the world of, Adam, why does my destination need a podcast? You talk about it on your show, but why? And so what a podcast does is allows that content consumption to move from an active format to a passive format. And so one of the main reasons that I recommend destinations need a podcast is to provide content that can be consumed passively and allows these newer audiences with different content consumption habits to be able to consume your content in the way they prefer to consume it. So if any of you have considered doing a podcast, I would really look into it. It's the long game. I would look at what it takes to start one. We obviously have a product at Relic. Every destination needs to start today and do a podcast. You will reap the benefit over the next several years and years and years. So we're talking to Andy McNeil about the meetings industry and about his company, American Meetings, and what they've done to really adapt to this new market. And you know, as we talk about it, one of the things that we want to look at is what destinations are most attractive to these early meetings that are starting to come back. And Andy, I'd love to get your opinion on what kind of destinations are poised best to be able to receive these meetings.
Well, I think the ones that focus on kind of a hybrid situation for the attendees are going to create a lot of interest, because it's not just about the businesses, it's also about the attendees. You know, we just went through a global pandemic. Some people are just not going to get on an airplane.
Right.
They're just not going to do it for a while. That doesn't mean you can't have a great event, but they might want to attend it virtually. So always have a plan around and work with your meeting organizers about how to expand that tent and grow it by doing that. But I think the smaller regional businesses have a real opportunity. First of all, they're not as crowded, so people are more comfortable with those situations. They're definitely price competitive, right? And probably even more so right now. And they're the ones that are a lot of times the most creative in coming up with ideas on how to do it. We happened to do our first hybrid event last September, believe it or not, for someone that was having a national sales meeting. And he really, really wanted to bring his organization together. We have a great case study on this, by the way. But he wanted to have a live event, but he understood that some of his sales force was not going to be comfortable flying in. So what we did is we had 6 regional locations where people could drive into. And, you know, with all the COVID safety measures in place at the hotels and have the meetings, and we piped the leadership into those regional markets. And then the senior leadership got on planes and went out to those regional markets after the kickoff day and then held the meetings in the regional site. So there's a very creative way to expand that out. And I think it was brilliant.
That's really interesting to me, Andy. Is that something that maybe destinations should be looking at, is how to put on a multi-destination event and how to work with other destinations that are conducive to that type of an event? Like, if you've got a national organization and you want to come up with 6 destinations across the country that are within a drive range or whatever from where these employees are located, is that kind of the first step in these meetings coming back, is that type of a structure?
It's one of the structures that could be very, very popular, especially for anyone that has like a national sales force or a distributor group, anything that, you know, goes from the entire country, because at the end of the day, some people aren't going to travel. I think there's going to be lots of creative ways, and we're seeing that. I mean, the events industry is incredibly creative. We've seen everything from what we just talked about to new technologies to allow for more interaction in basic Zoom all the way to more collaborative softwares. And it's happening every day. I mean, beaming in speakers holographically now. I mean, there's all these different things that are coming up. And then because there's so much.
And you guys have facilitated that, people to beam in a hologram of a.
Yeah, absolutely. How cool is that, right? And what's happening is, because the market is in such a flux right now, and technology is, you're seeing all these new systems and solutions come online, and they're actually affordable because they're new products. So lots of opportunity out there to really make a difference.
So you guys have really had to innovate with some of these creative meeting structures that are coming out.
And we were always innovative, because we were all in the general sessions of live meetings. You were always doing lots of AV and tech. But, you know, in the virtual meeting space, a virtual meeting is much harder to produce than a live meeting, because you have to integrate all the speakers. You have to train everyone from the attendees to the speakers to the clients on how to use the technology. There's a lot more planning. There's a lot more graphics and interface. So what was normally a very simple meeting can become very complex very quickly.
So your 6 destination meeting structure that you talked about a few minutes ago, as I think about that, I've got to imagine that there are destinations who have never considered themselves part of the meetings ecosystem that suddenly now they can play. Now they're in play. So what should these destinations that have never really considered themselves part, maybe because they don't have a major meetings facility or they don't have the space, how do they get into the game?
Well, I think you promote yourself around regional meetings. You know, regional in our industry usually means a short flight or drive-in, and really focus on that core group, and then talk to the larger CVB partners that you have that might be in a situation where they have a large group, but they need to have a regional breakout like we talked about earlier. So I think, you know, being open to those partnerships and looking for those partnerships and promoting yourself as someone that can provide that close one-on-one connection in a secure place, in a safe place, in a smaller place, is not a bad strategy at all, especially for the next, you know, 2-3 years.
So I would say that's a really interesting thing for some of the destinations that are listening, especially a rural destination or a destination without meeting space. Consider looking at yourself as a new possible meetings destination, and maybe test the waters on responding to some of these meetings RFPs that are out, because you may be more qualified than you think after hearing some of the things that Andy has communicated here today.
Yeah, grab some partnerships around the country and, you know, promote together. And maybe you get lucky and one or all of you be able to get some of that smaller business, which a slice of a big contract can be a big piece.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, what is winning these meetings RFPs right now for destinations? What's setting them apart and causing them to win some of these contracts?
Well, I think most, if not all, destinations are doing this now, but really, you really need to check the box on safety and compliance around how you're cleaning and how you're keeping the attendees safe above all, right? There's a liability there, and we want to make sure that everyone is always safe. And then making it easy for the event organizer or the meeting champion to be able to communicate that, have it in a slide deck, have a short video on what you're doing, you know, work with the partner hotels and what they're doing. Most of the hotel chains and a lot of the independents already have full programs in place on property. And so, you know, have that information at the ready. So when someone's asking for it, because they will ask for it, you're not going to be discounted because you haven't checked that box. Number two is, you know, especially the hotels, is to be really, really flexible on cancellation and rescheduling clauses. That's really important to our clients because there's such an unknown now.
Right.
It's really important that they have the flexibility to change or move. And I will say, on the destinations and the hotels we've worked with, everyone's been incredibly easy to work with on that. Everybody recognizes this is a once in a millennia situation and that we're hopefully going to be coming out of it relatively soon.
So even in your messaging, then, you would be talking about your flexibility or willingness to accommodate change as a result of COVID as part of even your RFP response.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you're actually going to see the ask from the where the RFP is coming from as well. That's going to be really, really important.
Okay.
They're going to be, because they have to be able to check that box and know that they're not risking dollars because, you know, there's another outbreak or there's an, you know, God forbid, there's another pandemic.
Well, you know, there's a lot of different factors that go into having a safe event right now. Everybody's going to do the sanitizing stations and require masks in a lot of these gatherings. What else goes into putting on a safe event?
Communication, making sure everyone is on the same page is the single most important. Every time you think you've overdone it with it, in our opinion, you haven't done enough. It's just communicating over and over. You know, a normal individual doesn't look at a direct mail piece until like the sixth time they get it. So just think that on average, you know, the number of emails that we all just completely deluged with. So I think your messaging needs to be spot on and make people during the registration process. We do this now. They check a box that they read and understand what the policies are. So everyone is on the same page. If you do that, you're going to be in a really good spot.
So communication and consistency of message.
Absolutely.
Great. Okay. So Andy, we've talked about a lot today
and we did. It's
been great. All over the board. I'd love to know, you know, as destinations are listening and they're looking for ways to improve their meetings product, what's the most important piece of advice you could give destinations right now?
Be open to change. Be flexible. Just like in 2008, we all had to be really, really flexible on both sides of the business. I think we're going to have to be even more so this time. And, you know, be open to unique and different ways to run and manage meetings. I will say that technology and having access and having the right broadband and all those important things about to bring in those hybrid virtual components to live meetings is going to be even more important than ever. So to make sure that your venues are set to do that and you have the right professionals in place to make that happen, because the hybrid meeting and the virtual meeting, I think, is here to stay. And we just need to be able to envelop it into the live meeting situation as best we can. And again, expand that tent like we talked about so even more people can experience the destination.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice, because if you think about some of these destinations that haven't thrown their hat in the ring for meetings in the past, something as simple as inadequate broadband could cause you to really have a bad experience for the meeting that gives you a shot for the first time. So yeah, that infrastructure, having that prepared, I think that's a critical piece of advice.
It's absolutely key in today's world. So if you don't have good broadband, get it, because the meetings are going to be coming and they're going to be asking for it for sure.
Great. Well, Andy, is there anything I haven't asked you that you think would benefit our audience?
We just love our CVB and hotel partners. They have been so good to us over the years. And I want to know that the meetings industry is with you and we understand that you're paying right now. We're excited. And like I said, the reason we created the Destination Everywhere podcast was to showcase these amazing cities and regions and countries that have so much to offer. And we're growing that podcast so we can have the content ready for all of our clients. So when they want to go to New Orleans or to Seattle or to LA, or to Park City or to wherever they want to go, we have the content ready for them to listen to and there. So if you're interested on being on the podcast, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
We didn't get back to your show, so I want to touch on that really quick. So your show is structured really to showcase amazing meetings destinations and give them kind of the exposure to the meetings market.
Absolutely. So these are all destinations that we have taken clients to in the past and are pretty popular. We are just finished our 30th episode. We're doing one a week, and it's been just incredibly fun. We tie in a hotel of choice to showcase, you know, how a group can come there. And then we also talk about all the great activities in the city and the culture and the vibe. And then we have a special local guest, a local celebrity, a chef to really give the flavor of the city or the region or the country. So it's been a lot of fun, and the response has been incredible from our clients and from our guests, and we're really excited to do it. And it's a great way for us to help cross promote with the CVBs and the hotels.
Great. What day of the week does that show drop?
It drops every Monday.
Perfect. And if somebody wants to find the show or become a guest on the show, what's the best way to do that?
They can go to americanmeetings.com/podcast, and all the information is right there.
Perfect. Well, Andy, hey, thanks for coming on and sharing your experience with us. We haven't done a lot of shows about meetings, and I think the content today was super insightful for our audience. I really appreciate it.
Well, Adam, thanks so much for the invitation. We'd love to have you on Destination Everywhere.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Well, thanks again. And thanks everybody for listening. If you enjoyed today's show, please make sure to leave us a rating or a review. And other than that, we'll see you next week.
Hello, I'm Will Sutton with Connect Travel, and we're excited to be partnering with the Destination Marketing Podcast to promote the eTourism Summit, which is coming in September 20th through the 22nd in Las Vegas. We're thrilled to be celebrating our 22nd year of the eTourism Summit, which has really historically been the go-to event for digitally savvy tourism marketers. And this year, we're really excited because we're going to be co-locating with U.S. Travel Association and IPW, which is going to bring a whole dimension of the tourism industry together in one place at one time as we work to recover from what has been a devastating year for the travel industry. This year, we'll be celebrating the 4th annual Etsy Awards, celebrating excellence in digital tourism marketing. And we're also launching a new program, Emerging Tourism Stars, which is really to highlight some of the amazing talent that has come up through the course of this last couple of years in these emerging tourism stars, and partnering with MMGY Global on that exciting campaign. So check us out at eTourismSummit.com. It's going to be an amazing event, and we certainly hope that all the destination marketers that can will make an effort to be in Las Vegas in September as we really work to see tomorrow and move our industry forward in an amazingly challenging time.